We know that the Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good, miracles, wonders accompanied his ministry. In this chapter, we have the miracle of the healing of the Roman centurion's servant. Without ever seeing the sufferer, without the touch of the hand or the glance of the eye, the Lord restored that man to full health by a single word. The Lord spoke the word only, and the sick man was cured. The chapter also brings before us a wonderful happening in the city of Nain. A funeral procession was underway. Hearts were heavy. There was great grief, immense sorrow over the passing of one so young. The young man, in the vigor and prime of his life, had been cut down and taken away so unexpectedly from his widowed mother. The Lord drew alongside and turned that widow's darkness into light, her sorrow into joy. The Lord spoke to the deceased, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Immediately, he that was dead sat up and began to speak. In an instant, the heart, the lungs, the brain, the senses, all began to function. What a miracle! The greatest miracle of all in this chapter, however, is the salvation of the woman, known as a sinner. What a deliverance she received. Burdened and guilty before God, she came to the place where her many sins were forgiven, where she went away in peace. From her renewed heart, what an outpouring of love for the Savior there was. As the famous preacher Joseph Irons said, here we have a great sinner and a great Savior. Oh, the story is full of hope and cheer for the unconverted. The miracle of the new birth is still being wrought. You need not die in your sins and hear the word, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." There's power in the gospel of Christ to fit you for the new Jerusalem, the heavenly home. Notice with me three principal things in the life of this woman. First of all, the condition of the woman. We are not told her name. There are no personal details given, other, as we read in verse 37, no details other than that she was a sinner. A sinner. And we must all identify with her in this regard. Oh, there's no escaping from the all-embracing sweep of Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You ask, what's the glory of God? The moral law, the Ten Commandments. God's law is perfect. It is holy, it is just and good. It is God's perfect standard for life and practice. But because of our fallen state, we fall short of the standard of God's holy law, just as the archer comes short of the mark. You may try to be as good as you can, still you come short. The Bible speaks of sin, defines it for us as the transgression of the law of God. That's what sin is. And before this standard, we are all guilty, just like this woman. Oh, people try to excuse their sin. You have heard of people in a courtroom setting trying to explain away, trying to minimize their guilt. They will hire the barrister, and the barrister will plead the case, and he will say, oh, it was out of character. It was really an error of judgment. It was a moment of madness. God makes it clear that we have all sinned and come short of His standard, His glory. Before the law, all are guilty. The law of God, all are guilty. Before this standard, every mouth is stopped. None can plead innocence, not guilty. We are all sinners by nature, birth, and practice. And clearly, the individual in this passage of Scripture was a great sinner. Speaking to Simon the Pharisee, the Lord said in verse 47 that her sins were many. They were many, they were numerous. In verse 39, Simon recognized her as one of the town's fallen women. When the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. He questioned now whether the Lord was truly a prophet. If he were a prophet, he reasoned, he could not help but know the type of person this was. She was a woman of the street, of ill repute, a great sinner. The Pharisee said in derision of the Son of God, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, that was good news for this person, because she took that place. She acknowledged that she was a sinner. She had heard the Lord preaching, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And sinners of the deepest dye may come to the Lord Jesus, and no rest, peace of heart and of conscience. Manasseh in the Old Testament was well known for his wickedness and was saved. There were those even among the Lord's murderers who had a hand in crucifying the Son of God, who were later converted. Deep-dyed sinners may come. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through to 11, of some who were converted in the church in Corinth. And what a fearful catalogue of sinners is found here. There are the fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And in verse 11, Paul is able to say, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord, saving, keeping the deepest dyed sinners. This woman came as she was, and the Lord received her, pardoned, relieved her of her guilt and the burden of her sin. Just as I am, said the writer, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. You can come with all your sin. The Lord still receives sinners who repent and trust Him for their soul's salvation. We have the lovely promise of John 6 in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, the Lord hath said, I will in no wise cast out. It's 43 years since I came as a lost soul, and the Lord Jesus didn't cast me out. He took me in. And what a take-in it was. It was the best take-in that I have ever experienced. An undeserving, hell-deserving sinner. And the Lord drew me to Himself. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. The condition of this woman. But then we think of the confession of this woman. We have the words in verse 37. The word behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Here's the confession of this woman. The word behold indicates that there is something of note here. There is something that we ought not to gloss over, that we ought not to miss. Here's a soul that is overflowing in the love of her espousals. What a confession of saving faith she makes. Notice her constraint. She heard that the Lord was in the Pharisee's house, and she could not wait to get there. Why had Simon invited the Lord to his home? For one reason: to make a name for himself. He wanted society to know that he was entertaining the one that he viewed as a prophet. We can see that he showed no courtesy, no common care to the Lord. He had no basin or towel to wash and soothe the Lord's weary feet. And the woman was so different to Simon the Pharisee. She said within herself, I hear that the Lord is in Simon's house, and I must get there. To hundreds in name, it meant nothing that the Lord was in town. But this woman must get to where her Savior was present. What brings you here? Do you come because the Lord is in the house? Every time the doors open, it's our prayer that the King of Glory will come in. He is among the twos and threes that meet together in His name. Oh, may our hearts ever be in a quest for the one whom our souls love. In the Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 4, the bride said, I held him and would not let him go. This soul, oh how constrained she was to be where her Savior was present. And we think in her confession of her courage too. How would such a one be permitted to enter a Pharisee's house? On social occasions such as this, it would have been men only. As she goes in, those present would have drifted to the side, lest they should be contaminated. They would have said among themselves, here's this woman, one of ill repute, what's she doing? Despite all the rebuffs, she got to where the Lord was present. The Lord's the one whom her soul loves. She is saying within her heart, He has touched me and made me whole, and I must touch Him. Oh, may we always have the courage of our convictions to identify ourselves as one of the Lord's followers, irrespective of what others think or say. And getting to His house on the Lord's Day in 2012, it marks us out as belonging to Him, as fearing Him. Oh, may we be unashamed in testifying for our Savior and His grace in our lives. We also see her contrition. Notice in verse 38, she stood at His feet, behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet. She was not present to have preeminence. Clothed with humility, she stood behind the Lord at His feet, and she bathed those feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, her glory. She laid her glory down at the feet of the one who is the brightness of the Father's glory. Oh, may we live to lose sight of self and to make much of Christ. And we see her consecration too in those last words in verse 37. We're told that she brought an alabaster box of ointment, and the last words of verse 38, anointed the Lord's feet with the ointment. All this was a very expensive and precious possession. Some say that this box was worth a year's wages.
And she brought it with her to Simon's house. And you can see her breaking the seal and anointing the Lord's feet with it. Hers was the faith that worked by love. This was the giving of her all. She withheld nothing. Do we give our all? Can we say, all that I am and have, I will give to thee? The Lord is precious to all who believe. He's precious to me. And the Lord highly commended her in verse 47. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much. She loved much. The Lord had the primary place in her affections. Oh, may you and I be able to say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And notice the consequence for the woman. We all like a story with a happy ending. And we see her acquittal. The Lord spoke reassuringly in verse 48, saying unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, the Lord knew all about her sin, knew every sin that she had ever committed, but they were all remitted. When we forsake our sinful ways, turn with all our hearts from our sin to Christ, He will speak the word of pardon. There is forgiveness with the Lord. In New York, there is a headstone with a one-word inscription. No name given, no age given, just the one word, forgiven. And that's everything. She reasoned with the Lord, and her sins, which were as scarlet, became whiter than snow. They were pardoned. They were forgiven to so as to be forgotten. To know your sins forgiven, the chorus goes, is something more than gold. Our attention is drawn to this forgiven sinner by the word, behold. This is the wonder of heaven and earth and hell, that such a sinner could be forgiven. Oh, the Lord is still the God of pardons. We read there in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you tonight acknowledge that in the sight of God, like every individual, you have sinned, you have fallen short? But there is one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse our black hearts from all their unrighteousness. Through His blood we can be justified freely. Will you come? Her acquittal, her acceptance, verse 50. The Lord Jesus said, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Oh, this person was not saved by her tears. She was not saved by her gift of the ointment. As Rahab was saved by faith, so was this woman, and so is every convert saved by faith. Blessed is the one that makes the Lord his trust. The scripture set forth the cross, our Lord's death, his atoning work. Why? So that you might trust him. Remember what we read in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's by grace ye are saved through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 5 and 1, it reads, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You tonight can go in peace. You can go from this preaching house on your way rejoicing, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? Oh, may you tonight know what it is to be accepted in the Beloved, to be brought nigh by the blood of the cross, to be counted, reckoned a just one through the merits of our Lord and Savior. May it be true of you as of this woman, your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus has brought to you salvation and eternal life. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, please.